Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show looks at films influenced by the release of Hitchcock's Psycho and several films that preceded it. I hope you enjoy the show. Today we're going to look at Alfred Hitchcock's classic Psycho, which was released in 1961, and it really did let the genie out of the bottle. Horror films up until that point had been quite straightforward. Monsters or animals dressed up to scare, give you a shock on the screen. But Psycho introduced psychological horror, meaning that what was suggested in your mind was much more important than what was shown on the screen. And Hitchcock made this genre all his own from then on. But before it was made, there were films offering sort of suggestions of the same sort of thing. And I'm sure Hitchcock had seen them. He'd seen them all, I'm sure. And following 1961, when Psycho came out, there were loads of films that it inspired. And some of them came close to what he'd achieved. So let's begin with a film that was made before Psycho was made. In 1949, it's called The Hidden Room or Obsession, and it starred Robert Newton, a fantastic British actor who played a very respectable doctor who finds out that his wife's having an affair. But rather than simply just kill his wife or his wife and her lover, he comes up with an ingenious plan to get his revenge. He painstakingly goes through his plot, but then discovers that there's a very tenacious detective who won't accept what he's been told. And this film is really fantastic. It's close to perfection. And the macabre hidden room is never mentioned in the film. It's got some lovely, delicate touches of humour in it. Edward Dimitrik directed it in London. He had to flee America because of the Un-American Activities Committee investigations. So he made it in. He came to London and made a few films over here. Nino Rota wrote the music, and the source material came from Alec Coppel, who, believe it or not, also wrote Vertigo for Hitchcock. Now, if we go back a little bit further to 1946, Robert Siodmak made a film called The Dark Mirror, starring Olivia de Havilland playing two twins, one called Terry, who's evil and twisted, and the other one Ruth, who's sweet as can be. Now, Terry is left-handed and Ruth is right-handed. And the good one is forever making excuses for the other one throughout the film. And the photography is top-notch. And we see de Havilland playing, she plays against herself in clever split screen in the same shot. It's fantastically riveting to watch this movie. And the visual effects were done by Eugen Schuften, who'd worked on Metropolis, you might know of, and a film called Eyes Without a Face. And another guy that worked on the special effects was Paul Lurpy, who'd done War of the Worlds earlier, and believe it or not, Vertigo again, with Devereaux Jennings. In 1948, there was a film called He Walked by Night, and I'd like to talk about that next. It was the first thriller to be made in a sort of a documentary style, unfortunately, because I think it would have been much more effective if it hadn't have been done in that style. An actor called Richard Basehart, he plays an ice-cold serial killer, and he's got a small dog that... gives a little bark when anything's wrong, when the dog thinks there's something wrong. But he's always one step ahead of the police. Anthony Mann co-directed this little beauty, and it's well worth watching. It was the first time that the storm drains of Los Angeles had been used as a set location. It's been used many times since. The cat and mouse game between the police and Basehart, it's fantastic. And just to call it a simple film noir, it wouldn't really describe it properly. It was Richard Basehart's breakthrough role in his career. Thank you. In 1955, there was a film that I'd like to tell you about called Diabolique, directed by Henri-Georges Clouzot in France. And it's about a hated school principal who's murdered by his wife and mistress. Now, interestingly enough, Hitch was also interested in this novel and was in a race to buy the film rights, but Clouzot beat him to it by only a few hours. And the film was, when it came out, the critics said, oh, Clouzot had out-Hitchcocked Hitchcock. So, I mean, that really did it. And Hitchcock saw it as almost like a gauntlet had been thrown down. Now, Hitchcock was planning to make a film with Audrey Hepburn called No Bail for the Judge, but it didn't come about. Now, his last two films, Vertigo and North by Northwest, they'd bombed at the box office, and the criticism was that they were overblown and overproduced. So with this criticism in his ears, he decided to downsize. And he made Psycho for just $800,000. But it turned into his biggest grossing film he made. In fact, its total profits were $40 million. Now, that translates to about $130 million nowadays. And it was the first film to state that no one could enter the theatre once the film had begun. And it's this practice that he instigated for this film. It led to the now accepted custom of showtimes. Publicity for the film included this great tidbit. It said, "Please don't give away the ending of the movie. It's the only one we have." So then Psycho came out, and cinema wasn't the same. All the rules had changed. Within a year of it coming out, a film came out called Homicidal. It was directed by William Castle, and it's well worth watching. William Castle used what he called a fright break about two-thirds of the way into the movie, and members of the audience could leave the theatre and get their money back. But nobody obviously took up that offer. It's a really great movie, and it's got a great central performance by Glenn Corbett. Robert Aldrich was the next one to capitalise on Psycho's success. In 1962, he put Betty Davis cleverly with Joan Crawford in a film called Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And it's about two sisters that live like hermits in an old Hollywood mansion. There's a great performance in it by Victor Buono as a piano teacher. So Betty Davis and Joan Crawford, they were constantly competing with each other on the set. And it translates very well into their performances in the film. It's a great film. Betty Davis had a Coca-Cola machine installed on the set. And that was to rile Joan Crawford, who was the widow of the Pepsi chairman, Alfred Steele. The producers wanted Hitchcock to direct this film originally, but he'd already started working on his film The Birds, so he couldn't do it. This film was a huge smash. It cost $750,000 and grossed $9 million in just 11 days.
And for the old folks at home. All the world is sad and dreary everywhere I roam. Oh, dark is how my heart grows weary, far from the old folks at home. Days I squandered many the songs.
kind old mother there let me live and die. All the world is sad and dreary everywhere I roam. Oh, dark is how my heart grows weary, far from the old folks at home.
Now, Robert Bloch was the writer who had written Psycho. And in 1962, he scripted a film called The Cabinet of Caligari, starring Glynis Johns. It doesn't really have much to do with the original German classic film called The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, but it's very interesting. Glynis Johns plays a woman and her car breaks down near an isolated mansion and she wanders up to it and is welcomed inside. And the place is intriguing, and she finds herself unable to leave. She gets to know everybody, but at twists and turns, she feels comfortable sometimes and alienated some other time. And for this film, the producers said that no one would be allowed to leave for the final 13 minutes, and there's quite a surprising outcome. Robert Bloch was unhappy with the way the script turned out in the film, and he tried to get his name taken out. In 1964, there were no less than four interesting films that came out that owed a lot to Psycho. The first one was called The Strangler and starred Victor Buono, who played the piano teacher in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And he plays a retiring hospital technician called Leo Kroll, who kills young nurses in his spare time. It's a very interesting little film. Ellen Corby plays his domineering mother. Again, it's very redolent of Psycho. And the scenes where he's interrogated, where he's under suspicion, are fantastic. Buono does a fabulous job in the lead role. It's unsettling and very realistic. And it's worth bearing in mind that the murders of the Boston Strangler were still going on and unsolved when this film was released.
Thank you.
The third one in 1964 was called Straitjacket, which was another William Castle movie starring Joan Crawford. She's an axe murderess, freshly released from jail. She'd been convicted of killing her husband and his lover. And she just wants a quiet life and goes to live with her daughter. But then things start to happen. It's got a wonderful twist that I didn't see coming at all. And Joan Crawford is fantastic as the mother. The last one in 1964 was called The Night Walker, another William Castle movie, this time with Barbara Stanwyck and her ex-husband, Robert Taylor. And it was another script by Robert Bloch, the guy that wrote Psycho. Unfortunately, the script isn't really deep enough to get you interested, and you just want the film to move along at a faster pace. But Vic Mizzi came up with a great theme, which unfortunately is overused in the film. But anyway, it was pretty good. I Saw What You Did came in 1965, and that really came close to really hitting the button. Two teenagers play a harmless game of making prank calls while their parents are out away for the night. And unfortunately, they pick the number of John Ireland, and he's having problems with his wife. Joan Crawford comes in again as the smitten neighbour from across the road, but it's played a little too lightly for my liking. And unfortunately, William Castle, he really should have treated it a bit more seriously, and it could have really become a memorable film. It's a great idea, though. Van Alexander, who had scored Straitjacket, did another great job here. So as you can see, Alfred Hitchcock completely changed cinema with Psycho, and nothing like it had been seen before, and it's been mimicked many times over the years, but it's never been bettered. Anthony Perkins and Janet Leigh, the stars of the film, they both said that although it typecast them for the rest of their careers, they didn't regret appearing in it, and it's no wonder. Its influence is immeasurable, and it really is one of the true masterpieces of cinema. So miss it at your peril.